that is switched off. You will still find that people can talk to you, it's just that we won't hear it. So if you would do that, I would be deeply grateful for you. The other thing is just to offer a word of thanks. I don't know how many of you know that it takes an awful lot of work by an awful lot of people to make a service like this come together. You have musicians, choir, organists, pianists, praise band at the earlier service, who have been working the music up for this service for several weeks now, and that is a lot of time on their behalf for you. Altar guild to make the church look pretty and have the flowers and have all the service bulletins done and so on. It takes a whole army of people to make it work for this special service on a Christmas Eve. So thank you to them on your behalf for doing such wonderful work to make this service so meaningful for you. Everything you need is in the bulletin that you were given as you came into the church. All the music is there, all the words of the service. So this is a service of Holy Communion. For those who are strangers to this parish, this table is not my table. It is the table of the Lord, and all are welcome to receive at this table. So I encourage you to do that. Let's now stand and begin our service by singing our opening hymn. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. God be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God, you have caused this holy night to shine with the brightness of the true light. Grant that we who have known the mystery of that light on earth may also enjoy him perfectly in heaven, where with you and the Holy Spirit he lives and reigns, one God, in glory everlasting. Amen. Amen. Please be seated.
First lesson is from the book of Isaiah. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest. As people exult when dividing plunder, for the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace. For the throne of David and his kingdom, he will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness. From this time onward and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Reading from Paul's letter to Titus. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all, training us to renounce impiety and worldly passions, and in the present age to live lives that are self-controlled, upright, and godly, while we wait for the blessed hope and the manifestation of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He it is who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify for himself a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Come and let me Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Gloria in excelsis Deo. See him in the manger laid, whom the angels praise above. Mary, Joseph, lend your aid, while we raise our hearts in love.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city called David, called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find the child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph, and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all of these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard as it had been told them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Amen. O God, you have caused this holy night to shine with the brightness of the true light. Grant that we who have known the mystery of thy light on earth may also enjoy him perfectly in heaven, where with you and the Holy Spirit he lives and reigns, one God, in glory everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated.
I have a distinctive car number plate. VEN space BEDE. I don't know whether you've ever sort of stopped at a set of traffic lights and someone in front of you has one of those funny number plates and you find yourself trying to work out how on earth they got there, assuming that you can even work out what it means. Well, I've got one of those. And it prompts a number of interesting responses. You know, when people come to me and say, oh, that's an interesting number. Venbidi. And then I say, it's Venbid. Oh. I was at a gas station in Lidditz some time ago. And I'm putting the petrol in the car, and a middle-aged lady walks up to her car, and as she's getting in, sees my number plate, and she said, oh, Van Bede, I ought to read that again. And I was amazed. And then, just this past summer, in Stauffer's, of all places, walking across the parking lot, somebody sees my number plate and says, oh, Van Bede, you must be English. That she stands for the Venerable Bede, whose mortal remains repose at the west end of Durham Cathedral in England. At the east end are the mortal remains of St. Cuthbert, one of the great Celtic saints. Bede was born in the northeast of England, way back in the latter half of the 7th century. He entered the monastery around the age of 8 and stayed there for the rest of his life. He was a monk. He became a priest. And he was one of the most noted scholars of his age. In the days when there was no printing press and books were a rarity, Bede wrote books on history, mathematics, astronomy, commentaries on the books of the Bible. The nomenclature AD and BC started with Bede. He is the one who created it. He's still being studied today, 1,300 years after he died. Bede lived when people believed in miracles. When people believed that the veil that separated this earthly world of ours from the divine world of the angels, they believed that veil was very thin, very transparent. And in an age when few people could read, Bede lived in a time of storytellers. And the most mystical story of all was the story of the birth of Jesus. The church where Bede worshipped still stands. It now forms a chancel of a larger Anglican church. So when you step into that chancel, it's not hard to imagine how Christmas after Christmas, Bede, the priest and scholar, would have told the simple folk gathered each Christmas the story you have just heard. How Joseph and Mary, obeying the census decree of the Roman Emperor Augustus, went from the town of Nazareth to Bethlehem. And on their arrival, discovered that all the inns and hostels were full. And as Mary was with child by the Holy Spirit, so Joseph found a stable where Mary's child could be born. And at his birth, she wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger. The church would have been still. You could have heard a tin drop as Bede told the story. And they would have listened in awe and wonder how he told them that in the fields around Bethlehem, shepherds were tending their sheep. And on the night of Jesus' birth, saw a vision of an angel. They would have believed that. They would have believed that. And they would have understood how the shepherds would have been terrified, because they would have been terrified had they seen it. But they would also believe that, telling them not to be afraid, the angel told the shepherds that the child born in Bethlehem was the long-awaited Messiah, God's anointed, the one who was to save God's people. And then how the shepherds heard the voice of the heavenly choir singing, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." They would have believed that. They would have heard that sound. And on leaving their sheep, the shepherds went into the town to see this wonderful thing, and having seen it, went out into the night telling everyone they met the amazing things they had seen and heard. This is the story Bede would have told, the story they would have believed. And into this account of Jesus' birth, found in the Gospel of Luke, you heard it just a few moments ago, Bede would have added elements of the story, elements found in the Gospel of Matthew, of Joseph's dream, and of the wise men from the east who followed a star until he came to rest above the place where Mary was. And there offered their gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having worshipped the newborn king, they returned to their own kingdoms by another road. That's one of the most powerful verses in Scripture. The wise men returned by another road. When we encounter the holy, we return by another road. We are changed. We turn around and return by another road. Changed forever by the encounter. Bede knew his Bible. Probably better than any of us in this church tonight. You can still read his commentaries. And those of us whose job it is to read such things don't read them often enough. It wouldn't have concerned Bede one jot that the two versions of Jesus' birth in the Gospels don't quite match. For the Venerable Bede considered the story of the Incarnation a divine folk song of a mother rocking her cradle and shepherds calling their sheep and the wise men offering their gifts. It is through the art of the storyteller we know that Jesus was born this night. Had you thought about that? We're here tonight because of a storyteller. We might call him Matthew, we might call him Luke, But he's a storyteller. A storyteller who knew that Jesus was born this night in Bethlehem long ago and was the Word made flesh, God incarnate, who came to dwell among us. The Venerable Bede describes the incarnation as Christ the morning star. I don't know whether you've been looking up into the night sky right on dawn, and the moon's up there and you'll see the bright star. That's the morning star. For Bede, Christ was the morning star that greets us every day we wake. Christ, the morning star, who, when the night of this world is past, gives the saints the promise of the light of life and opens everlasting day. That's why we're here this night, to celebrate that God in Christ opens everlasting day. And this holy night, in churches all over Christendom, people everywhere have gathered to listen to this sacred story. A story that has been told and retold in words and song for centuries. This is why we are here this night. But is it true? Is it true? Is it true? A latter-day storyteller, the English poet laureate John Betjeman, wrote a wonderful poem he titled Christmas. It's a poem which unlocks for me Christmas, memories of Christmases past. You know, when Christmases always seemed to include snow, even when there was none. And Christmases that seemed to go on forever and ever. I was on email with my sister in England early this morning, and she was telling me what she was going to be doing this Christmas. And she said, you know, I've been thinking back to the time when we lived in our home with our parents, and Christmases just seem to go on forever. And I know what she means. Christmases seem to go on forever. John Betjeman opens his poem Christmas with the line, "The bells of waiting Advent ring." He begins with Advent and then goes on to describe how we moderns experience the Christmas season. This would probably be familiar to you. How hardly has the Thanksgiving turkey gone cold than Christmas displays are in the stores. Christmas lights begin appearing like mushrooms around the houses. And there are reindeers and Santas and scenes of the baby in the manger and all manner of farmyard imaginary out there springing up on the lawns. Candy canes. I don't remember seeing one of those in the manger. Snowmen, certainly not. And all manner of creatures and ornaments. And of course now the great rage is that little light that sort of goes all over the house, and then you see this sort of spots, you know, and you can't quite work out whether it's your eyes that have gone, the glasses that need changing, or... And all that happens right after Thanksgiving, or seems to. And then there's the busyness of the season. I was flicking through my calendar and discovered that on the weekend at the beginning of December, you'll remember this choir, we had the Hershey Handbell Choir, and then the next night, the Lancaster Chamber Singers. And in Millersville, that same weekend, there was the Sounds of the Season, or whatever they call it. And then, in Highland Presbyterian Church, there was this, the Mennonite Children's Choir with Irish dancing. And all that, and we hadn't even started Advent. And God, in Christ, was present in all of them. And yet, all these festivities taking place while we are in a kingdom of anxiety. We just experienced an election which unleashed a tsunami of anxiety and fear and division. And you can't brush it off. It's there. It's there. And it's palpable. And it wasn't lessened by the events in the rest of the world. In Syria and Aleppo. One of the great stories, I don't know whether you've been following it, is of a young 7-year-old who had a cell phone and was tweeting each day from Aleppo all around the world. J.K. Rowling picked it up and sent her electronically all the Harry Potters so she could read them. She was tweeting as the bombs were falling around them. She was tweeting when the bombs were coming down on their own home. And there was a long period of silence when the world, or it seemed to me the world, held its breath because we thought she'd been killed. Only to appear again some days later. One of the refugees leaving Aleppo. We live in a kingdom of anxiety. And the same is true in our own parish. I've done more funerals in the last 2 months than I want to do for a long time. Jay Click, Anne Klein, Alice Will, Frank Statham, good friends all. And that's just a few of them. And then, as Christmas draws nearer and nearer, the anxiety for some of spending their first Christmas alone or of simply buying presents. Have you ever thought how stressful it can be to have to buy presents? What to buy? And for whom? And for how much? All this preparation, it seems, for one evening and a day. And then it's over. Then it's over. Shops will be selling post-Christmas decorations at half price. That's the time to buy. Don't worry about electric lights for your tree. Buy them after Christmas. They'll keep until the next time round. And they'll work this time. The return counters of the stores will be busy. All of this, to celebrate the birth of a child 2,000 years ago. And the amazing thing is that God in Christ is present in all of it. John Betjeman describes this. Not so much in American terms, he's an English poet, so he's describing it in English terms, but you just fill in the gaps. And then right at the end of his poem, this latter-day storyteller asks a simple question. And is it true? Is this story true? This most tremendous tale of all. It's seen in a stained glass window's hue, a baby in an ox's stall. the maker of the stars and sea, become a child on earth for me? And is it true? For if it is, no loving fingers tying strings around those tissue fripperies, the sweet and silly Christmas things, bath salts and inexpensive scent, and hideous tie so kindly meant. No love that in a family dwells, no caroling in frosty air, nor all the steeple-shaking bells can with this single truth compare, that God was man in Palestine and lives today in bread and wine. Is the story of Jesus' birth true? To be blunt, most biblical scholars will tell you that the stories of Jesus' birth in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke are not literally true, but rather traditions the storytellers have woven into the story of Jesus' birth to pull us, you and me, into the deepest mystery of all. The larger meaning of the gospel story, that in the man named Jesus, in the birth of a powerless child, the all-powerful God made God's self known to you and to me. And Joseph and Mary, the shepherds and the wise men, represent all of humanity, the rich and poor, those of all nations, colors, and creeds, those of high estate and those of none, those who jump for joy and those who fear the worst, those who live in the midst of society and those who live on the margins. Whoever and whatever you are or have been or are likely to become, God broke into human history in the form of a child so that we would know and believe that we are loved by God as a child of God. The story of Jesus' birth is not about facts. It's told to pull us into that mystical space between the earthly and the divine. For us to believe that on this night, long, long ago, the grace of God appeared, bringing salvation to all. And no matter that there might be some in this church or any church tonight who find it hard to believe this story of God, they should not worry. They should simply know that God believes in them, and believes in you, and believes in me. And as God was man in Palestine, he lives for you and me this night in bread and wine. And Christ, the morning star, who when the night of this world is past, gives the saints the promise of the light of life and opens everlasting day, this Christ, the morning star, will meet you and me at this table, as he does every time we come to this table, and as the morning star always appears, so God in Christ will meet us in all the walks of our life. Think about it. This is why you are here this night. This is why I'm here this night. I wish you all a very blessed Christmas. Amen.
Let us stand together as a community of faith, professing our belief using the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
In trust, we bring before God our hopes and fears, our wonder and confusion, our joys and sorrows, asking God's blessing on our lives and the life of the world. Let us pray. We pray for the church, the family of Christ throughout the world, remembering particularly all the baptized who minister in this congregation and community. For the household of faith, we pray.
Be with us and bless us, O God.
For Justin, Archbishop of Canterbury, for Michael, our presiding bishop, for Audrey, our own bishop, and for all bishops and other ministers.
For all who serve God in this church.
We pray for our nation. Endow us with your grace and bring us to a more perfect union, embracing young and old, rich and poor, men, women, and children of all colors and cultures and tongues. For our nation, we pray.
Be with us and guide us.
We pray for all nations, peoples, and tribes throughout the world. In your compassion, lead us into the way of unity and peace, and bring us to that glorious liberty which is the birthright of all your children. For the welfare of the world, we pray.
Be with us and unite us, O God.
We pray for our neighbors in this community, at work, at school, and at play. Help us to be aware of those who are unemployed and without shelter, and give us compassion and determination to respond to their needs. For our community, we pray.
Be with us and help us, O God.
We pray for everyone whose body aches, whose heart is weary or frightened, whose mind is confused or cast down. Strengthen with your healing spirit all who suffer. Give us grace to be instruments of your peace. For all who suffer and struggle, we pray.
Be with us and help us.
We pray for those who have died, Draw them to your bosom in love and to the new life of eternity with all your saints who have shown us how to live more fully the life of Christ. For all who have entered new life in Christ's resurrection, we pray.
Be with us and raise us, O God.
O God, who brought all things to birth in creation and gave us grace to become your daughters and sons, draw us together that we may live in the Spirit as the family of Christ, to ages of ages.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins, O Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you. Good to see you all. Good to see you all. Thank you for being here this night. Thank you again, choir, organist, all the people who really worked very, very hard to make this evening so successful and so meaningful for all of us. And I thank them all for the work that they've done. And I do hope you have a wonderful and blessed Christmas and have an abundance of all the things that you want. There you are. You can put your own label on it now, all right? Walk in love as Christ loved us. He gave himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God.
The Lord be with you.
lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give Him thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, because you gave Jesus Christ, your only Son, to be born for us, who by the mighty power of the Holy Spirit was made perfect man, of the flesh of the Virgin Mary, his mother, so that we might be delivered from the bondage of sin and receive power to become your children. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation. In the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory, and we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where with St. Matthew and St. Luke St. Edward and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church and the author of our salvation, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep feast. Hallelujah.
With faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
May Almighty God, who sent His Son to take our nature upon Him, bless you in this holy season. Scatter the darkness of sin. Brighten your heart with the light of His holiness. May God, who sent His angels to proclaim the glad news of the Savior's birth, fill you with joy and make you heralds of the gospel. May God, who in the Word made flesh, joined heaven to earth and earth to heaven, give you His peace and favor. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you and remain with you and enfold you this night and always. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.